Today's reading is from the Gospel of John and the Gospel of Luke. Hear now these last words from the cross. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." The curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. This is a word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Well, these are the last words that Jesus spoke from the cross. That's what we've been looking at over the course of these last 6 weeks together during this Lenten season. These seven last statements of Jesus on the cross. And we found that Matthew and Mark record one of those. John records three of those statements. Luke records three of those statements. Now, when we get to the very end, Matthew and Mark say that Jesus just cried out. They don't tell us what his words are. But John and Luke give us that we just heard a moment ago. In John's gospel, it is finished. In Luke's gospel, it is, "Into your hands I commend my spirit." Now, I want to start with John. We've been looking at these statements, so I want to start with John, what John records. And a lot of times when we read these, I think the picture that comes to, that kind of comes to our mind is that, Jesus is he's just about died. He's been on the cross six hours, and he just kind of says, "It is finished." Kind of softly. There, at least that's an image that I've had come to my mind when I read these before. But what is overlooked sometimes is that it doesn't say that he whispered this. It says that he cried out these words. And think about the effort it would have taken to do that. I shared with you the very first Sunday of Lent, the effort it took for Jesus to eat, for anybody who was crucified, who had been nailed to a cross, to be able to speak. You had to pull yourself up by the nails that were in your wrist or your hands and your feet. You had to pull yourself up to get enough air into your lungs in order to speak. And so here Jesus has been on the cross 6 hours, and he's pulling himself up another time, not to whisper these words, but to cry out. And it wouldn't have been words, it would have been one word. Jesus spoke Aramaic, he didn't speak English, okay? So the Hebrew, the word that he would have said is this word, mashalem. And so he would have pulled himself up and he would just cried out, "Mashalem," which means completed, finished, done. It is a cry, not of pain and suffering or defeat or surrender. It's this cry of victory. It is Jesus, he's saying, "I have completed it, I'm done. My mission is finished." And he was talking about this months before he triumphantly entered in Jerusalem as palms were waved and cloaks were thrown on the ground. In Luke, it's recorded months before this, he's already set his face on Jerusalem. And he says this, he says, "Look, we are going up to Jerusalem. Everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles. And he will be mocked and insulted and spat upon. After they have flogged him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again." Again, we find this halfway through Luke's gospel. Jesus is already looking towards Jerusalem, toward the completion of his mission. The other gospels also record Jesus talking about this, and the disciples say, "No, this is not what's supposed to happen. You can't do this." And Jesus says, "Yes, I can, I must. This is my fate." And so he does go to Jerusalem, and as he enters, he's hailed as a king, right? We just participated in that, right? He's, "Hosannas were shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest," rang out. Again, his palms were waved and laid on the ground with cloaks and all of that. Jesus, though, enters knowing that he is going to die. That his mission is almost completed. Almost finished. "It is finished," he says. question is, what's the it that's finished, though, right? What was this mission that he was on? What's the purpose? Why is he on this cross? Why is he dying? And when someone asks you that question, what do you tell them? If someone would ask you, so why is Jesus die on the cross? Well, a lot of times we say things like, well, he died for you and for me. He died for our sins. And then, well, how did that work? Or how does his death 2,000 years ago impact me today? And all these, you know, these questions, kind of questions come. And usually by that time, our response is, go ask the preacher, right? But the it is hard to explain, because there's not just one answer to the question. I mean, when we look at the cross, it points to a lot of different things. There's a host of different metaphors that we find within the scriptures that Jesus even references, explaining what his mission was, what he was all about. I mean, Jesus even doesn't give us one comprehensive statement. There's not one simple way to explain the cross. It's sort of like trying to explain love to someone, right? Someone says, well, what is love? And what do we say? Well, love is like this. We use a lot of metaphors in trying to describe something that's very difficult to explain. And the same is true when it comes to the cross. It's like this and this and this. There's not just one message. There's a lot of different messages. When we look at the cross, when we read the scriptures, we find Jesus as our Redeemer, our Savior. He's our shepherd, our high priest. He is the light of the world, the bread of life. He is our vine, the way, the truth, and the life. He is our atoning lamb. He is our Alpha and Omega. He is our beginning and the end. He's the King of Kings. He's all of these things and even more. A colleague of mine writes this. He says this about it. He says, through the cross and the Christ's death, he reveals our sinfulness, the costliness of his grace, the magnitude of his mercy. On the cross, we see what love looks like. In his death, we see him identifying with our pain and suffering and our human mortality. And in his resurrection, he proves that he has overcome them all. And Jesus was doing all of this on the cross to redeem, save, draw us to himself. This is the it when Jesus says, it is finished. One word describing something that is described in so many different ways and means so many different things. But then he has one last statement, right? Into your hands I commend my spirit. And like a lot of the earliest statements, this too, many scholars believe this was also a prayer. Just like when he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When he prayed, my God, why have they forsaken me? Those were prayers. This one, scholars believe, was a prayer as well. It came from Psalm 31, actually verse 5. Where we find it. Sort of like the others. So if he's praying a psalm, then most likely he's thinking about the other verses as well. You know, so wonder what verse 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 said. Because if he's praying this, maybe this is what he was praying silently. For this is what it says. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden from me. For you are my refuge. Into your hand I commend my spirit. And so these final words may have indeed been a prayer. William Barclay, one of the late New Testament commentators of the last century, he said he believes it to be a prayer from Psalm 31:5, but he also says that that one line, into your hand I commend my spirit, was also a prayer that Jewish mothers taught their Jewish children to pray this at bedtime. I don't know if your parents taught you a prayer to pray at bedtime. My parents did. And it was that one, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray to the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake." It's kind of morbid, you know, right? But anyway, it was a good, I mean, that was the prayer we prayed almost every night before I went to bed as a child. Barclay says this was also a prayer that the Jewish moms would teach their children as well. So if Jesus praying this prayer, he's pointing us back. He's also teaching us this is how we can pray as well. When we're facing difficult times, despair, dark times, even death, we can pray, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." This is a prayer that we can pray. We can pray this in the morning. We can pray this at bedtime. Probably a little bit better than "Now lay me down to sleep." But think about it. "Into your hands I commend my spirit." When we wake up, we pray that. When we go to bed, we pray that. And in this, we find in Jesus' teaching that this is how we are to live our day. "Lord, into your hands I live this day for you. Lord, this day I've tried to live for you." Not, we don't live it in fear. We don't live it in despair, but with hope and confidence. "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." In fact, all of Jesus' last words, I hope you've noticed that, because we've been at the foot of the cross for 6 weeks here, right? But I hope what you've noticed is that all of Jesus' words, they're not down and dreary kind of words, hopeless words. They're hopes, they're words of promise. They're pointing us to Easter. They're not dreary words. They're words of hope and affirmation. Think about it. So we started with Jesus prays for our forgiveness, doesn't he? Prays for all the times in which we turn away from him. "Father, forgive them," meaning us, "for they know not what they do." Jesus prays for our forgiveness, and then he calls us to do what? To forgive those around us. When Jesus looks down from the cross and he sees his mom and he sees the disciple John, and he tells John, "I want you to take care of my mom." What's he doing? He's living into that commandment, right? Honor your father and your mother. It's a reminder calling for us to care for our parents, but also to understand that our family is bigger than just our parents, just our kinfolk, just our blood, but it is the everyone, that we are all part of God's family, caring for them as well. When Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" We're reminding Jesus felt the same things that you and I feel. I mean, we don't always feel God's presence. There are times where we think God has abandoned us. We feel that. We wonder where God is. Jesus has been there, has felt it as well. And so when we pray, we're praying to someone who knows what it's like. You know, when the thief on the cross says to Jesus, "Hey, you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" This is a violent criminal. I mean, he had to do some pretty bad things to be crucified. And he looks at Jesus. He recognizes who Jesus is. And he says, "Remember me." And what does Jesus say? "Today you will be with me in paradise." Even you will be with me in paradise. God's grace and God's mercy. I mean, if this is available to this thief on a cross, it's available to you and I as well. When we turn to him, no matter what we've done, when we turn to him. When Jesus cries out, "I thirst," we're reminded of Jesus' humanity. But we're also reminded of his divinity, because Jesus is not only just talking about this physical thirst, but the thirst that can only be quenched by him. The thirst that resides in our souls. "It is finished." Not despair, not defeat, not thankfulness that my suffering is finally over. They're words of victory, of hope. The words of our Savior, of our Deliverer, of our Redeemer. The words of our God who loves us more than we could ever imagine. And then the prayer that maybe his mother taught him to pray. But of a prayer of confidence, a prayer of surrender. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Prayer that reminds us we don't have to live in fear, we don't have to be afraid. A prayer that we're called to in the morning when we rise, in the evening when we go to sleep. And so here's what I want us to do as we close. I want us to pray this day. And just to simply say, just say yes to Christ. And it may be for the first time, it may be for the 1,000th time, it may be a reaffirmation, but to say, just to say yes. Say, listen, into your hands I commend my spirit to you, O Lord. To yes, to him being our Savior, our Redeemer, our Deliverer. All the things that the cross points us to, because there are times in our lives we need, you know, we need him to be our Redeemer. We need him to simply be our Deliverer. We just need his forgiveness, his love, his grace. And so as we pray, that's what I invite you to do. Okay? Just very simply. So as we go to God in prayer this morning, you might just simply whisper, say it in your head. Just say, Jesus, I accept the gift you give me. I accept that your suffering was for me. Forgive me and make me new. Jesus, I accept the gift you give. I accept that your suffering was for me. Forgive me and make me new. And then finally, I invite us all to say those last words of Jesus, to say them aloud together. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Let us pray those out loud. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.